speak to you this morning from the book of Psalms 126. And I've been praying quite a lot about this service today. This is a special day, and I've asked God to help me be a blessing and encourage you folks. I want to talk to you this morning about dreaming, about dreams, dreaming. The Bible said in verse number 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I just want to talk to you about dreaming this morning, if you would like. Please be seated. Now, this chapter has two seemingly opposites. It talks about laughter and rejoicing, and then in the next few verses, it talks about weeping. And it doesn't seem like that laughter and rejoicing goes together with weeping, but I want to tell you that often they do. Now notice this dream that they dreamed in verse number 1, that they bring up their failure and their captivity. And their dream was not just a little short dream that's given in the night. It was a 70-year dream. For they were in bondage for 70 years. And they dreamed of the day that they would be restored. Christopher Columbus came to America because he had a dream. And he wouldn't quit dreaming even after other nations turned him down. He kept dreaming. Yeah. Martin Luther King, what did he say? I have finished. I have a dream, right? Amen. It wasn't a nightmare or just a night dream. It was a lifelong dream that Martin Luther King had. The Bible says without a dream or a vision, the people perish. And you know you can tell when an individual is getting old, when they look at the sunset instead of the sunrise. Now, most everyone that is in this room today, you have a dream or you have a nightmare. One guy said one time that I used to believe in dreams until I married one and found out that she was a nightmare. Whether yours is a dream or a nightmare depends on what you are seeing with your eyes. The Bible tells me that Abraham had a dream. His dream was that he would become the father of a great nation. And he had to become discouraged when he was nearly 100 years of age with no seed to carry forth that dream in the future. But the Bible says in Romans 4 that he staggered not at the promise of God.
Yes, sir.
But he was strong in belief. The Apostle Paul had a dream. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward men perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. He had a dream. He had a dream of carrying forth the gospel into the known world of his time. Joseph had a dream. And his dream was to save his people when hard times came. And he didn't let prison destroy his dream. He continued to dream for years until God brought it to fruition. Moses had a dream. It looked impossible to cross the Red Sea. But he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Yes.
And he had a dream and he took the people the promised land.
Yes, sir.
Many years ago, D.L. Moody, when he was on his deathbed, his final words on his deathbed, that great preacher of the cross, said, if God be your partner, then make your plans large.
Yeah.
If God be your partner, then make your plans large.
Yes.
I read in Joel 2:28 that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And that was accomplished at the day of Pentecost, when they were there in one accord in one place. That dream came to fruition, and people were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and the church of Jesus Christ was birthed on that day.
Yes.
You're here today because your pastor had a dream. You're still dreaming today, aren't you, Brother Horton? You see, the Bible said that your old man would dream dreams. I've been seeing visions, but he's been dreaming dreams. But the Bible said your old man would dream dreams.
Yeah, I believe it.
But he's had a dream that this church would be what it is. And I want you to know that I run into people occasionally around the state and around the country that have a dream of something, doing something great for God, but they never start. And I tell you today, you'll never win unless you begin.
Yeah.
You've got to make a start.
Yeah.
And when you make a start, it's a faith start. It's always a faith start. It's always bigger than what you are. It's always like a mountain that is before you. And you don't think that you have the capabilities of seeing your dream come to fruition. But if you will begin, God will give you the wind, and you will see that dream come to pass. I am a dreamer. I believe that God is a God of the right now. I know that He worked in the Bible. I know He did miracles in the Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, God still does miracles today. I know God saved people and baptized people in the Holy Spirit in the beginning of Pentecost, and then in the early Pentecostal revival in the 1900s. But I tell you, if God did it then, He still does it today. He still saves. He still heals. He still fills people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am a dreamer. I know that He blessed Abraham, but I want God's blessing now. I know God blessed Isaac, but I want His blessing now. I know that He blessed Jacob, but I want His blessing now. I know that He blessed David, but I want His blessing now. I know that He blessed Paul, but I want His blessing now.
Amen.
Alexander Bell said, when one door closes, another opens. But often we look so long and so regretfully at the closed door that we don't see the door that God has opened unto us. Did you know the poorest man in the world is not the man that does not have any cents or any dollars, but it is the man, the poorest man in the world is a man who has lost his dream.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every bridge that's been engineered, every painting that has been painted, every church that has been erected has first existed in the mind and the heart and the imagination of a dreamer.
Yes, sir.
Nehemiah completed his wall that existed in his mind before a stone was ever lifted.
Right. Yes, sir.
The great churches of Ephesus, Thessalonica, and Corinth were built long before they started in the heart and in the mind of the Apostle Paul. Did you know that every church, and I see literally hundreds of churches as I drive around the state, and I think about them often as I drive by, and I say, I wonder how this church got started. I wonder what prompted this church to begin. And you know, virtually every church that starts with excitement, purpose, and vision. I remember when this church started, 1982, the very first Sunday of September of 1982. I remember going church in 1984 when it was in the little KFC building right over here on Highway 412. And I remember very well, there was about 20-something people in service that morning. But oh, there was such a precious Spirit of God that was there. My wife and I and our two young boys came to that church. And then later, God began to bless, and the church began to grow. The pastor had a dream. And he went over here and bought the little Jehovah Witness building right up here off the highway. How many of y'all know where that's at? Right up here off the highway, bought the little Jehovah Witness building. And I never will forget that little church when it started. You had more people. There was still a dream. And there was excitement. The church began to grow and God began to bless. And it continued to grow. And finally, another great giant step of faith that came from a dream began to come forward. As you folks begin to give and you purchase this property, could you do it by yourself? No. You had to have God working on your behalf. And God put it in your heart and put it in your dream. And you begin to build. It was hard work. And it was a lot of sacrifice and a lot of giving. And you built the church. And you continued to grow. And souls have been saved. And undoubtedly, there's people right now that are in heaven because you had a dream. I want to ask you real quickly, how many of you folks were in that little KFC building back there when the church was there? Would you stand if you were in that KFC building when it started? How many were there then? I want you to stand real quickly.
You and me.
All right. How many of you, keep standing if you would, how many of you were in the little Jehovah Witness building? You attended in the little Jehovah Witness building. I want you to stand if you would. All right, the number's growing. All right, how many of you have been attending this church at least 10 years? Would you stand? Look here. Listen, folks. Great churches are not built by people that just go here and there and flip and flop and run here and there and other places. Great churches are built. And I listened to the words of that song you sang a little bit earlier about God being faithful to you. But did you know what? We have to flip that around. We have to be faithful to God. And you have a wonderful church here because you people that are here have been faithful to God. You haven't been wishy-washy over here and over there and getting mad at the preacher because of something that he preached or something that he did. You've been faithful. Thank you. You can be seated. What I'm telling you tonight, today, is that this church has been built because of a dream. And now you've come to this place of this 38th year anniversary. So what do you do at this point? The challenge is to continue to dream once your time has elapsed. To continue to dream. To continue. It's easy to go through the motions of what's been the past. It's easy to just live on the blessing of yesterday. But must you stop? No. There's still work for God to do. God has put it in your heart to dream. And the dream never dies. You continue to dream.
Yes, sir.
Until you see people saved and everyone come into the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The other night, I did something I don't believe I've ever done before in my life. I got a sermon while I was dreaming. In the middle of the night, God gave me the scriptures. He gave me these scriptures that I gave to you here this morning, just the other night, when he said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You see, I read in the scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus at one point, when he was the very Son of God and had every right to condemn Jerusalem and condemn the people that were the Jewish people, the Bible said that he was over the city of Jerusalem, over the hill. And as he looked into the city, he began to weep. And he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them that have come unto you. How often I have wanted to gather you together as a hen with her brood, but you would not. And look at you now, your house is desolate."
Yeah.
Jesus wept over the city. I read where Jesus wept over the life of Lazarus when he had died.
Yes.
And I begin to think about that in my dream. And as I begin to think about it, all of a sudden it dawned on me. We're criticizing everything that's going on in America today. We're stomping our feet. We're clenching our fists. We're talking about how we're mad we are that's going on, what's going on in this country. And I've got to tell you that I'm just as mad as you are. I don't like what this country is becoming. I don't like what's happening in this country. But in my dream, as I woke up with tears in my eyes, the Lord began to speak to my heart. And he said, "How much weeping are you doing over America? How much weeping are you seeing in churches that you attend? You're seeing a lot of good things and you're seeing a lot of wonderful people. But how many prayer meetings are you seeing where people are weeping?" The Bible said, "Let the priests that minister in the pool weep between the altar and the doorpost." Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that the church enter into a season of dreaming and weeping, that we will not relax until we see our city come to Christ.
Amen.
There's no place to stop. No place to stop.
That's right.
And you must not quit dreaming until you see this building packed to capacity.
Yes, sir. Granted, Lord. Granted, Lord.
Let me share just a few thoughts and I'll close. Number one, our dream is about people. It's all about seeing people saved and growing into a mature relationship with Christ.
Yes.
There's churches all around Silent Springs. Some were started by people that were disgruntled or hurt where they were, and so they went and started their own church. And oftentimes the baggage of the hurt and the injury and the disgruntlement of the former church travels with them. And before time, I've seen it. I've lived a long time and I've seen it. I've seen these little churches become a little cubbyhole in a city or a village that protects their own space and says it'll never happen again. When our dream is about people, you will attract all kinds of dysfunctional people into your fold. How many knows Jesus came to save whosoever will?
Amen. Yes, sir.
He really did. Huh. When you have a dream and it's all about people, you don't care whether they're black, white, yellow, brown,
that's
whatever
right.
they are, you want to see them saved.
Amen.
You want to see them make heaven their home.
Yeah.
When our dream is about people, we'll throw out the lifeline.
Yes, sir.
And collect all kinds of people. I prayed when I pastored my church and I asked God, I said, "Lord," and I did it for 12 years at that church. I said, "God, you send me whoever you want us to have, and we'll love them, and we'll try to help them." And boy, was I not prepared for what the Lord said, because he sent us some doozies. But I watched people grow and I watched them mature. And I watched people that had serious lifestyle problems, when they gave their heart to Christ, the Lord changed their life.
Yeah.
It's all about people.
Yes, sir.
Second, our dream should be that we are fully persuaded that God is going to give us the increase.
Yeah.
He always does it in his timing. He always does it in this time. What did he say? "I will build my church." We don't build the church. He does.
That's right.
But we have to do our part. That's not an excuse for us to sit back and fold our hands and say, "Okay, Lord, we're waiting on you to build the church." No. God is the one that plants the seed in the hearts of people, and they become what they need to be from Christ. Bible said in the book of Acts that the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they which labor do so in vain. You know, when you've got a dream and you expect the Lord to work in that dream, you'll be amazed at what happens. You'll be amazed at whose life the Lord turns around. I've seen atheists come to Christ. I've seen alcoholics come to Christ. I've seen people that everybody gave up on. And people said they'll never amount to anything. God ought to just kill them and get them off of this earth. But I've seen them get saved. And I've seen Jesus Christ turn their life around.
Yes, sir.
It's happened because somebody had a dream.
Yeah.
Number three, we should always be aware that when you have a dream, that things will not always be smooth.
Yeah.
You ought to hear my wife dream. Sometimes it gets loud and it gets aggressive. And sometimes when you dream, it gets loud and aggressive.
Yeah.
Some are going to fall out just like Demas in the New Testament, having loved this present world.
Yeah.
There'll be times when we make mistakes. But what do you do if you dream and you fail? You dream again.
Yeah.
You just keep dreaming until the day that you die. My dad and mom are here today, and I'm so happy to have them here.
Yes.
Dad was raised in an unbeliever's home. He got saved when he was, I believe he was 18 years of age when he gave his heart to Christ. Went back home, and his dad told him, said, you're not going to get religion around here and live in this house. But you know what? Dad got a dream in his heart. Before he was finished, he led all of his family to Christ, including his dad, came to the Lord. Listen to me, folks. You never know what God's going to do.
That's right.
When you get a dream. Jeremiah 29:11. Don't kill your dream. Execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end.
Yes, sir.
Do I believe God is going to move in this church greater than he ever has before? I really do.
Amen.
I believe that what you've done in the past is wonderful and it's something to rejoice about. But there's still people to be saved.
Yes, sir.
There's still families that need to be put back together. There's still people that need to be delivered. And as long as you have that in your area, this church has to have a dream. Weep over souls. Come together and have weeping meetings. Weep over the condition of our nation. Weep over the lost. Weep over the alcoholic and the drug addict and the homosexual and the lesbian. Weep.
Yes, sir.
And then see what God does. Because he said, when you take your seat,
yes,
and you cast it forth weeping, your doubt has come again, bringing your sheaves with you.
Yes, sir.